everyone, welcome back to an Endurion Co podcast. And here, Noelle and me will be discussing some really interesting FPV stuff. So yes, today we are having an FPV episode. And hi, Noelle, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really hot.
It's hot, by the way.
It is very hot in Australia. It's summer, for people who don't know. And I'm sweating. Like, I'm in my living room with the aircon and the fan off because otherwise it would be too much background noise. And I think it's 30 degrees in my living room. And but yeah, I'm happy to be here though.
It's gonna get hot there.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, so actually that was a great point today. We're probably going to talk only about FPV. We're going to talk about lots of things, but around the same theme. The idea I got is recently I've been back into preparing my fleet and flying again, and I've had lots of fun actually doing all of this. And I remembered how over the past two and a half years, I didn't have much fun left doing either building or flying, or beside the podcast and watching other people's videos, I was not really enjoying myself with FPV. So it just inspired the topic of today. We got a little
list. It's a good
list.
One, I think. So yeah. Guys, be sure that you leave us a comment down below under that post on Instagram and stuff, because we want to ask you, like, what is hard for you in FPV after the time that you have been flying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe let us know how long have you been flying and what did you find getting harder with time?
Yes, or even any, yeah, exactly. Even any challenges you faced or you're still facing, yeah. What you find the most difficult in this hobby. And I guess we can start talking about this.
Yes.
Yeah, so. Do you want to start? Okay, I'll start. So what I've been finding difficult for me is having a sort of a little bit of ADD. I don't know if I have ADD or anxiety, but something makes me not a very focused person, especially when I'm building and also doubting myself quite a bit while I'm building. So building has been the challenging part for me in this hobby, because flying, I've been having fun, and you know, the progress when you're flying and you try to improve, it's just you're in the air, so you're having fun, you're not thinking of it. Whereas when you're building, for me, that's when I'm thinking. And it's always been like a matter of finding the easiest build ever. When I started the hobby, I was on Betterflight and I was using older components. You know, components were harder at the time to use, and, yeah. And it was not always easy instructions to find. And that was the big learning curve for me. And then I moved to KISS, which I found heaps easier.
And then it is.
Yeah, and then I found a sort of recipe. At the time, I was flying Armat and frames, and I had found my go-to frame that was working very well. And go-to components were a lot of TBS components and KISS, and my camera were old Foxy. So I had my, like when you cook, you know, you have your recipe and it's not failing you anymore. So at that time, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, that's easy. But you know how things, they evolve in the hobby. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, so even my sponsors, you know, they've changed their components. Like TBS has reduced the size of things, that has improved the performance, and then my sponsor changed frames, so I wanted to try new frames. And you know, as soon as I started changing things, that's where I had difficulties again. I had a quad that was not flying as well as I wanted. That's back in 2018, and that's when I started my journey on the, I don't know, downhill. Mentally.
<Unreal. laughs>
It was a combination of things. It was a combination of, you know, not being sure of what I wanted to do on YouTube. But if we're talking strictly FPV, the fact that I had this drone that wasn't doing what I wanted and I couldn't figure out why, it was very difficult to live and difficult to sort out. And then I sort of fixed it by going back to my go-to recipe. And at the time I was already interested in trying Impulse RC frames, because lots of my friends were already flying Aliens for so long, and I had one Alien, still had sent me one Alien. So I sort of was like, I'm going to simplify everything again and fly the same gear as my friends, so at least I can ask them what they think of what I'm doing if anything goes wrong. So I built an Alien again, very simple KISS. Everything was very simple on it. Back to basic, and it worked again. But then, that was still difficult in other ways. That's why I was not active. And getting back into the hobby, I wanted to fly, but every time I would fry something again. It was not the problem of my build not working. It was like little things breaking on site. So yeah, when I say I'm frying, like I would hit something and a motor would just be annoyed and fry an ESC or yeah. So I was just not happy. And I think that's what has always been difficult for me. And now I'm again in the process of finding a new go-to recipe with my micro Apex. I have it here. It's being refined slowly, but
it's beautiful.
I don't know why this time the refining process is actually fun for me, because maybe I have more experience now and I'm more used to everything that can go wrong. So I guess to conclude my long speech, I would say it's maybe good that so many things went bad for me over the past years, because now, like, I just sorted out a problem, an issue I had yesterday. I had a look tonight and I'm like, oh yeah, that's maybe this. I went online. There's a lot more forums now, and there's Reddit as well. Whereas when I started, it wasn't popular. And I sorted it in 15 minutes and I'm like, oh, that's not so bad. So maybe you need to suffer and then it gets better.
To suffer.
Okay. What do you think?
I am an FPV for 7 years now. Every time I say it, I feel like I'm so old. Like last time on the interview, really, that was like since when you were flying. I'm like, 2015, which is 7 years, which, oh my God, I'm old.
Wow. That's huge.
I'm so old. Anyway.
You're not old, but you've been
I'm
in the hobby.
I'm an FPV grandma. So generally, the thing is, I never struggled with building. It was hard, yeah. Like at the beginning, like my first build took me 3 days, I think. Mm-hmm. And there was no Facebook groups. There was a couple of RC groups on the internet, but that was a forum. You had to wait for an answer. It was really hard to find any information about anything.
Yes.
There was no instruction manual in most of the things. You would just get in an FC and was like, yeah, figure it out. So that was hard. And I never really had problems with it. Like, I enjoyed the process. It was nice. But throughout my entire career, and we are talking about 7 years right now, every single time I was on a race or I was posting something or something like this, people were asking me the most annoying question that only girls are getting asked. Do you even build your drones? And, you know, it's really annoying because some of the guys, pro pilots, don't build their drones, but no one gives a damn.
Really? Is that true?
Yes, wow. It is true. For the longest time, for example, Min Chan Kim didn't build even one of his drones.
Oh, wow.
And no one gives a damn. But when I'm showing up, do you even build your drones? So, with those 7 years, I have realized some time ago, like... Okay, still coming back one step. Even on my YouTube, people were asking me, do you build your own drones? And even though I had a build video on my channel already.
Oh my God.
I did a new build video.
Yeah.
And people still ask me, do I even build my drones? So this is annoying. And I think I grew resentful towards building right now. And I figured it out a couple of months ago, because I need to change a couple of things in my racing drones for the 2022.
Yeah.
And I have the part. I know what to do. I just don't want to do it. I just don't. It's like, I try. I cannot. I'm looking at those drones and I'm like, not today. Not today, God of Death. No. Yeah. And I think I just grew resentful because I was judged so many times. And I had to protect myself so many times. And people looking at me sometimes repairing the drone, like soldering on my knee, were like, oh, wow, you really build your drones. And it's like, no shit, Sherlock. And I really grew resentful towards it at this point.
Sense.
So as I said before we started recording, I will shock you with a couple of things. I asked my Discord if there is a person who would like to do upgrades on my racing drones, because I cannot make myself and the first race is in February.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting now for the package with the last parts that I need. And I'm going to literally take my drones to this guy who agreed to do it. And he's going to build them for me, because I really don't want to.
Wow. Oh, no.
And it's not that I cannot. I don't know how to do it. It's just, yeah. I just don't want to. So whenever someone asks me this year, do you even build your racing drones? I can be like, yeah, I built half of them because actually I'm not switching much. I'm just switching. Okay, well, I'm switching FC and the whole system right now. So basically all the stuff inside is going to be switched. So I can say no.
As expected.
For real. I'm going to just be saying no. What are you going to do about it?
That's really true. So I actually like your mindset because... So I joined the hobby after you. I had you as an example. I remember watching your videos and being like, maybe I can do this too. I was also watching Zoe at the time. And in terms of flying, there was also Drone Doll. She was, I don't remember seeing building. I think she probably built her drones as well. But, you know, she was more on the flying. So. Yeah, she was more on the flying side, whereas you and Zoe were showing a lot, a bit everything of the hobby. So that really... pushed me, but I remember. Yeah, I felt like when I entered the hobby because I was a girl, I really wanted to build, and I put lots of pressure on me, and because you know again I don't know if it's anxiety or ADD or combination of both. Too much pressure while you're building is not good, and then it's a vicious circle because I was thinking. Also, you know, my partner was pretty good with electronics at the time, my ex-boyfriend, Kevin. He was really good at all these kind of things because he was already doing it before me. He had experience. And so I could only compare myself to him because we were so isolated where we were living in Central Desert. I had no other. Yeah, I had no one else. So I was like, I'm so bad, you know. And people were so harsh, you know.
Yes, not exactly.
Judging. Other people were very encouraging, you know, but yes. You had that pressure. And same with flying. I was like, I was lucky at the time I could do 5 batteries a day, which, you know, I'm so grateful. I can't believe I was able to do that at the time. And I was like, I'm doing my 5 batteries so that no one will ever say anymore, oh, you're posting video on YouTube, you're a girl, but you can't fly. You know, that was, but yeah, you know.
Exactly. Thank you.
But I was young and I think like, it's exactly what you said. If I was starting now with my maturity and someone was trying to say these kind of things, I would be like, ah, so what? Because since then, I've met men who are not perfect in this hobby. Maybe my ex-partner was really gifted. And then I was exposed to other people who were also maybe good at what they're doing, but they were doing drone stuff for ages as well. And I just compared myself to the best people. And that's the thing I usually do. There's me, and then there's people that are very good, and I just want to be very good straight away. And if I'm not very good straight away, I'm like, I suck. There's no in between. And,
yeah, exactly.
And with the building part of it, that's why, even to these days, it's getting better. But I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to fry today? You know?
Yeah, but for real, I just think, like, with time, I just grew really tired of trying to protect myself from people who I would probably destroy on a race.
Yeah, or even those people have their own insecurities. Maybe it's not with building, but they might have insecurities in other parts of the hobby, and they want you to have insecurities because they have their own insecurities as well. So
yeah, and I get it, but it's just after 7 years, I'm just tired of this.
I understand.
And every time I'm like posting a review of something for a drone, there's always this one or two guys that are always like, do you even fly? And it's like, I don't know. If you just go to my channel, there's 500 videos. 500.
Yeah.
From 2017 onwards.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I don't. I mean, come on. I just really grew resentful. And I feel like... a lot of girls that are coming in and then disappearing randomly, I think they just have had enough of this because it's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's nothing like super, you know, don't get me wrong. I love the community. They're amazing. It's just, there's just this one person always.
Yeah. There's always been the one person. And even, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, it's, you know, it also happens to men. I think it happens to girls a lot in the hobby because it's a hobby full of nerds. It's like, you know, video games. I hope it's going to get better. I think it's slightly getting better. But I've even on some Facebook groups, when you have a new person and he's asking questions. There's always the smart asses that are not helping.
Oh, yeah, it's just bad. It's like always I'm trying to help, or like in Rotor Riot group, I'm a moderator, so sometimes I'm deleting those really negative comments because I'm like, dude, you're not helping. And then you're going to be probably the dude who's like, oh no, our community is dying. Why is this happening? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just like, why don't we have many women in the hobby? And I'm like, well, the answer is in comments.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, I think I wonder how we could make that better, but I think it's just a
matter
of time.
I'm saying that I'm not building my drones anymore. I don't know.
Maybe. Do you think you will go back to it eventually? It might be something that you will.
Maybe. I think I just have this blockage right now because, I got a couple of people who were really like, oh, do you even build your drones? And I checked their Instagram and their first drone was the iFlight Evoke. And I'm like, well, you didn't even build your first one, but yeah, sure. So, hey, great. Hypocrisy running off everything. But yeah, it's just, I really just grew resentful. I'm looking at those drones. I'm like, I don't want to do it. Although I'm working for FPV24 as a presenter and we're doing some building. There's some soldering involved and I'm doing it. And it's fine. And it's, you know, nice atmosphere. I'm having fun with the camera crew. We're just building. It's fine. But when I'm supposed to sit in front of my racing quad, I'm like, well, this ain't happening. So Shimon, if you are listening, thanks very much again for doing this for me.
You know, that's interesting because you said you were building for other people. And my first job when I went back to Melbourne was to work in a hobby store. And then my employer at the time said, hey, we should build for people because if they're new, they might not want to build. So this should be a service. And for some reason at the time, I was still like very not confident in my own builds. But then because I think I have a sort of, it sounds arrogant, but I've been told that I have a work ethic, you know, like I'm dedicated at work. So for some reason, I was really applying myself at work to build these drones. And I never fucked up a drone for a customer. I probably built between, I don't know, it's not that much because I only worked 1 year there and then I found another job, but maybe 10 to 15 drones in total and fixing other, you know, and I didn't do the mistakes that I used to do when I was building my own drone. So, you know,
it's different when you do it for someone else.
Yeah. And I'm thinking maybe, you know, because you've been doing that, once the bittersweet feeling is over for you, maybe you will be back. Ah, oh, that's fine. I can start.
I think it's just this one blockage like I'm having right now. I'm really trying to build those drones for 2 months. I mean, trying looking at them.
Fair enough. You know, that was me since 2019. I was like, oh, I should go fly and then I wouldn't. So yeah, I've been rarely flying and now, you know, that's, I understand. So that's actually a part of, maybe we just go to that next point and then we go back to the previous one. But that was the risk and reward of complete dedication and commitment. We sort of talked a little bit about this, like, you know, you were so passionate that you got hurt by those comments. And I feel like it happens with the hobby. I just wonder how many people, even not, you know, people who are not posting on YouTube and not sharing, and so they're not you know, attacked online. I wonder how people feel when they just get frustrated with building or with flying or with something that's not working in a hobby. Because a lot of people, I've recently been flying with someone who told me he was a bit not impressed by the hobby anymore. He was just like, oh yeah, whatever, you know.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. I wonder if it happens to at least everybody once in a while, and then they need to find the new spark to see how it goes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. But that's something that I love this hobby and it's awesome. And I love racing and stuff. It's just, I don't want to build anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah.
So package, please come quickly.
Hopefully.
There's a lot of things that really get me excited, like the things that we cannot guys talk you about yet. So
true.
Be sure that you are following this podcast so you will get to know what we are talking about soon.
You know, I'm actually so scared that because we talk about this right behind the scene, I'm scared that on the podcast I'm gonna say something and then I'll be like, shit, we have to edit it out.
No, I hope we won't. Okay, so we're fine. Maybe there's some cool things coming.
Yeah, there's definitely
we're discussing cool things.
Yes, yeah. Well, in terms of, you know, I almost said something now because let's not say that. I was gonna tell you, you know, things that motivate me to fly at the moment. And once again, work has been a little bit involved in it because my new work, I'm gonna fly. I'm flying like a Mavic Zoom for it. So, you know, I'm one of those people now. But it's actually funny because flying the Mavic made me more confident recently. And I rewatched because I was barely touching my drones, and I thought, you know, I sucked at flying because I got told so by some people. And the fact that I was doing well and my boss liked my flying for work, I started rewatching old videos on YouTube that were on my channels, and then I thought, oh, I'm not as bad as I got told. Why did I end up thinking I sucked at everything? You know. Again, there was no gray area in my mind. It was, they are awesome people and they're shit people and I'm the shit people. But actually by rewatching this 2 years later, plus the memories, you know that when you make videos, you see the people again. And I'm like, oh my God, I missed this. So yeah. I'm taking my time with recording videos as well. And I'm still not sure I will go back on YouTube, but I think Instagram is going to be something I want to update. But the flying at the moment is my main focus. And I feel the excitement again that I had not felt for so long because I was burnt out. Like we talked about, you know, burnt out. I think we talked about it slightly in another podcast before. But
yeah, maybe.
That little feeling of, ooh, I'm going to fly. I've got this again. And it's great.
That's good.
Yes.
I love it. And I want to see more stuff of yours on Instagram, just saying.
Yes, yeah, well, I went flying yesterday, actually. Yes, and like I told you, I couldn't record with my DJI because I forgot to do a setting in Betaflight.
Yeah, that was sad.
But I've still recorded with my Cinebook, and I've got some B-roll, so I'm thinking I could do a mini edit. And tomorrow I'm flying with the Bitmatters, which is exciting. So yeah, it feels really good to do all this, so... Do you have anything you want to share a little bit about that topic? Either, you know, what other things you found hard in this hobby, or if anything has become easier over time for you?
What has become easier is totally going on races and not caring.
Ah, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I used to really care that I need to perform because I have this, you know, everyone's watching me. And you may think that it's kind of like, okay, you're a little bit hysteric, Lexi. And I thought that I was hysteric too. But then every single time I was flying, someone was telling me that, oh, people were watching your screen, people are watching you. Someone said a comment and I was like, they're really watching.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So hysteria level up. And I was really thinking that I need to perform. I need to do stuff. And I need to, you know, be the best. And I think a year ago or something like this, I just stopped doing this. I was going like, I came here to make footage, have fun, and kick asses and take names.
Yeah, yeah, and so do your best for
you. I can do
you.
It. Yeah, and I think I'm actually performing better now that I think of it, because I'm stressed a little bit less. So when I crashed, like, a last event of the year, I actually had a little midder that got me into the spin of death. And I hit straight into the race director box and got tangled in all the cables there. So I just took off my goggles, looked up like, oops. They looked at me. I waved at them because it was my fault, really.
Stuck in a movie.
But they were like, I hope you're not rearming. And I'm like, I'm not rearming. I don't care. I mean, and people were watching like, oh, no, you crashed. That was so sad and everything. And I'm like, I have it in HD. That's awesome. So I don't care. And that got a little bit easier, I think. So I have a little bit more fun. I'm not stressed that much. So that's good.
Do you think, because you say you don't care, I was wondering if you instead started caring about the right things, like you're still caring, but it's redirected for the right reasons instead of caring for the wrong reasons?
Yeah, I think I care. I mean, I want to perform. I want to be, like, my last year, I wanted to be in top 10 at the end of the year, and I was eighth, so that's nice.
Yeah.
In the standard group. So that's nice.
Yeah.
I think it's important to care, but at the same time, I'm just not stressing myself out that I need to perform and every single little crash is like, oh no, the worst thing in the world, or I cannot fly and blah, blah, blah. Like it used to be that when we were having indoor races and the vision was shit, like, sometimes it's just shit. I was just complaining a lot that I cannot see anything, I cannot fly and stuff. And on the last race of the year, I actually decided to switch into shark bite because I saw other people flying shark bite and having splendid vision. And I was like, I would be flying faster if I would see that, because I couldn't see half of the track. But I was still going. Like a couple of times it happened that I was losing vision and my spotter was like, oh, you still went through it. And I was like, yeah, I knew the gate is somewhere there. So I think that got easier, and I still care, but I'm just having a little bit more fun doing it.
That's good. It's funny how we put pressure on ourselves. So for a while, because I really like flying, so it's good because you bring the racing side of the hobby and the stress that happens in racing, and I sort of bring, you also do freestyle, but I mainly do freestyle, so you know. It's funny with freestyle how I wanted to do a bit everything. How can I explain? Like tricks that I thought I had to do, you know, or flying style I had to do. Whereas it was a bit silly because people liked my flying style and I liked my genuine flying style. So why change? And I really like flying proximity, but I don't really like flying close to trees. But because I was always influenced by people flying amazingly close to trees, I would get nervous when I would get close to trees and then get stuck in the trees.
And yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
And recently, even when I was sort of on and on flying during the past 2 years, I just decided I'm not gonna get close to the trees that I know are too high. And since then, somehow I still get close to trees, but I don't get, I hope I'm not jinxing myself, but I don't get caught in them because I'm more confident and I made a decision and I'm like, why? What do I want to prove? Like, if it's not my thing, if I get caught in trees because I'm too scared, why am I just not changing my mentality? And all of this to say that sometimes you put weird pressure on you, like, it comes from a bad place instead of coming from a good place. And that's when you end up doing bad things. And then it's a vicious circle because you keep doing the bad things you don't want to do. And you're like, oh, I suck. And, you know, it's very interesting. I don't only do that in FPV, but because FPV was my newest hobby of all, that's where I was doubting the most. And I was just, and since, it's funny, when you make decisions, like you said, I don't want to prove anything to anybody else, which in fact is also what I decided to do. It really helps. And I wonder how many people feel this pressure, because I know we said we feel that because when we started, maybe girls were a bit scrutinized in the hobby. Maybe it's different now.
You used such a nice word, a little bit.
You know, like we were very under the microscope.
Yeah, we were. I remember that. It was nice times.
Oh, you know, I'm so glad. It sort of seems to have improved. Like, you know, there's a girl, I know you follow her on Instagram. I really like her as well as her flying and her personality. She's called Alicia FPV.
Yes, she's cool.
We should have her on the podcast, actually, I was thinking.
Yes, we should do it.
She's so comfortable, you know, at least from an external point of view. I have a feeling that she's chill and she's like, yep, that's what I'm doing. You know,
actually about Alicia, because I'm I won't say to which companies, but I'm a social media manager for some of the FPV companies.
Yeah,
so I'm the person that's reposting your stuff and answering some of your questions.
Okay.
And I was actually resharing Alicia's post and I got the angriest message I have ever received that was so long and so angry, because how dare I reshare her stuff if the person that was writing it, he was tagging this company for the longest time and nothing ever got reshared. But when she does something, it's being reshared. And I was like, hear me out. I'm in this company for 3 weeks right now and we started resharing stuff 3 weeks right now.
Yeah.
And I'm doing my best to reshare every single thing that I see. And why would you be so mad? And he was like, she doesn't even know how to fly. I was helping her with something. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you know, everyone started somewhere. It's not like you're going to put goggles on and you're going to be Mr. Steel.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
You need to learn. And it's a process. It's not anything bad. So why would you write such a mad message? And I was really like, dude, have you noticed that this company started doing anything?
Yeah.
Right now? Yeah. I mean, the things that you posted 1 year ago, I mean, I wasn't there. And it was just really like, that's not cool, kind of. Like, don't do such things. It's not cool. But Alicia is really cool. I like her. I mean, it's always a process. I think a lot of people just forget that it's a process to learn. And like, same with you. You were having a lot of pressure to do the tricks and stuff. And I also think I found it easier now because I don't like doing tricks.
Yeah,
it's not that I don't know how to do it, I kind of do. Mm-hmm. It's fine, but whenever I'm having my freestyle sessions, I'm going usually to like really beautiful places, and the thing is, I fly, I'm up there, and all I can think of is, oh, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
And I just fly around, don't do anything. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I should flip or roll or something like this, because otherwise it's not a freestyle video. And I'm just doing a little flip or roll or a little power loop or something, or trying to do anything. And I'm usually like, yeah, this is not fun. This is work. My fun is, ooh, it's so pretty here. Ooh, what's on the right there? Oh, nice.
That's
so
good.
That's my freestyle. So I started to kind of not give it them anymore.
It's so funny.
If people are like, oh, you don't do tricks and stuff, I'm like, yeah, but did you see the dive of the castle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the watercolor?
Yeah, I agree. So it's interesting because watching videos, my favorite pilots, you know, everybody says, oh, my favorite pilot is Mr. Steel. Not everybody, but if I say my favorite pilot is Mr. Steel, I've said that before, and I said, oh, but everybody likes him. But some of my favorite pilots are Mr. Steel, Snake, and Tom Smith, and they have such an aggressive, you know, freestyle. Yeah. And I love watching it. I love the music they use. I just like their style, and I think it's badass. But funny enough, when I'm flying, I like proximity. But I also like open space. So if I'm flying in open space, I just like being really close to the ground and doing sort of tricks, but not tricks. It's not complete rolls. It's just playing with the ground. And I think everybody could do it. But at the end of the day, that's what I came up thinking at the end of the day. Who cares if everybody can do it? That's what I want to do. So, you know, I'm doing it.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter. That's how I want to fly. But just saying that it's funny that you can love a style of, you know, flying like very extreme. And then when it's your turn to do it, you're like, yeah.
You know, yeah, but did you see the color of this water? Look how beautiful it is.
But this being said, even if I wanted, I couldn't fly like Tom Smith. You know, I could not.
I'm kind of more into like Johnny FPV style. He's kind of doing the, oh, look, that's so pretty.
Johnny is just, it's funny. I was talking yesterday to an Australian pilot, and I was saying I was telling him the people I would love to meet, you know, that I still haven't met. And I'm like, I would love to meet Johnny, but I would be too shy. I'm too impressed by his skill. It's more like, you know, I don't know why. We both met Steel, and of course he's amazing, and he's a big person in a hobby, but meeting him felt casual because he has his podcast and he's always sharing stories and things. Whereas Johnny is so, it's a tangent, okay, but Johnny is so discreet and only sharing like very chosen things online, and then, you know, you know nothing about him. Then I'm like, I don't think I would love to meet him, but I feel I wouldn't speak. I would just like stare and be like,
actually, the first time I met Steel, it was in Korea, and he was doing his freestyle show, and he hit a wall.
Oh, okay.
And he crashed down, and he was like, oh well. Johnny FPV was there too, and I actually have footage of him grabbing my camera and saying, hello, Lexi's camera.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, he's a nice person.
Yeah, he looks nice. So, but
if you ever meet him, just don't stare, just be nice.
I think I would forget to speak English.
What's in English?
And it's not like people are going to say, oh, they're talking about guys. And it's not because that anything. It's just the level of skills.
No, we don't have crushes. It's just nice people. And yes. I mean, we cannot not talk about guys because we're in FPV. It's kind of a male-dominated hobby.
Yeah. You remember the first time we posted our first episode or something and we shared it and someone was like commenting that we would just be only talking about men on the episode.
I remember that.
And it took me a whole minute to read the comment. And I'm like, what is this guy on about? Like, what is this comment? And I'm like, oh, he's thinking that's what girls are talking about.
Yeah, wrong. I was like, do you really think that this is what we are talking about? Guys, periods and something?
Yeah.
Well, no, we don't. Like, I really had a guy messaging me on Instagram, and if he's listening, hi. So I posted about our first episode, and the guy was like, what you girls can talk about? Aren't girls talking about shopping and periods? And I'm like, wow.
Oh my God.
Like, wow. You should like turn off the TV, turn off YouTube, and get out.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. Real.
It's like, I don't do shopping and I absolutely don't talk about my month.
Yeah.
No.
And
this
is
not what women talk about.
Well, maybe they do, but it's not the only thing we're talking about. But that's what you see in, you know, in media and stuff. And that's why I wanted to do this podcast as well.
Yeah.
You know. And
that's fun. Anyway,
we just did a big tangent, but we can come back on the topic. Thanks for that. Yes. Is the podcast for me? I think I mentioned it before, but I'm saying it again because not everybody listens to all episodes.
And you should.
You should. But this podcast, because it's linked to FPV and we talk about FPV, even when I was not really flying, it helped me feeling good about the hobby again. So all the things I was feeling bad were suddenly balanced because you were flying, you were telling me what you were up to. And I was like, oh yeah, that's true. You know, every little moment that you shared with me, or if I was watching your videos and then we talked about it during the podcast, I was like, oh yeah, that's fun. You know, like when you did that race in the castle, or when you when you went to France, you know, you did your little trip in France. I was just like, yeah, I'm missing on so much things now that I'm too scared to grab my drone and do what's necessary to get out. So yeah, it's just a matter of if anyone is currently struggling with motivation for the hobby, I think my advice from experience, I would say try to find one aspect of the hobby that you currently have, or if you don't have it yet, try to find a new one that will make you feel good in general about flying or building, you know, whatever you prefer. Some people indeed prefer building, but and then it will slowly come naturally. And I was surprised how it actually happened. I thought I was really at some stage I was like, should I sell everything, you know? And then we started doing the podcast and the flame.
That would be so sad.
That would be sad. Yeah, because it's part of me now as a person. And yeah. So yeah, that would be my advice. If you think like you want to give up, but not completely, you don't know what you're doing. If you find a small aspect of the hobby that brings you joy, just bloody focus on it. Even if it takes ages, like, you know, we've tried to do the podcast the first season, and then I failed, and then I was like, no, let's do it again. You just have to
it
be persistent.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, every time. And you've been so patient. I'm so glad you said yes in the first place, and then you are the person you are, because I'm not easy to deal with when it comes to consistency.
You know, I have a really nice, like, in about you on CV, you need to write things about yourself. So I'm usually saying that I'm a pretty calm and patient person that's chilled. And
yeah,
it's true.
I agree. And so flexible. And yeah, very, very nice.
I'm saying I'm easygoing.
You are. And also hardworking, which is a great combo, in my opinion.
I'm easygoing. We cannot do it today. Okay. We can do it tomorrow. Okay. Whatever. Yes. Okay.
And who knows, you know, in the future, maybe we'll find better ways, you know, to interact with each other. So,
yes, this, I'll stay quiet now.
Oh my God. Yeah. And on that topic, what else did we have in our point? I would love people though, for once to share with us, like, you know, if you listen to this podcast up to now, please come on our social media and tell us a little bit, you know, what's your experience with FPV, if you ever had burnout, if you almost sell your things one day, what made you come back to it, you know, what made you stay?
That's also interesting. I think we wanted to talk about the quote for Tom Smith.
Oh, we're talking about another male again.
Oh, no.
No, I was just saying earlier, and the podcast is a good example, you have to be persistent in this hobby. And that's something that when I was at my lowest, mental level in FPV and in life, it's so funny, Tom Smith, who's not posting that often, he's just posted a new video, but you know, he has long period when he's not posting. He uploaded a vlog online, and I just watched it because it was funny. The title was Poc D, which is just Doc P, but written differently.
Yeah. And
it's my favorite FPV video ever, and probably just because it matched my feelings at the time of just feeling like life sucked. And you watched that video as well.
It was sad to watch.
So in a nutshell, in that video, poor Tom is trying to fly before work, and things are just not going his way. But like, every single thing is going wrong.
Can you imagine when things go downhill and then they keep roll?
So I don't want to spoil it, but literally every single thing he's trying to do is failing. He still managed to upload, I think, a good flight in it. But so many things happen. And because, you know, I just said it earlier, he's one of my inspiration, and I'm like, he's so good, he's flying. Seeing him struggling so much during the vlog, I'm like, ah, I'm not alone, you know?
I think that's another thing, because a lot of people don't really upload their failures, so everything always looks perfect. And then when you fail, you kind of have this feeling that everyone is doing so well and you don't. And this is why I'm usually adding crashes and everything into my videos, to show that it's real. I'm going to crash all the time. Like, people ask me in DMs, like, how do I learn not to crash? And I'm like, dude, I've been in 7 years. I don't know.
It's
just not possible not to crash, whether because of you or because of the wind or because of other people or because of scraggle or whatever that you couldn't see, because it's not there. It's a ghost scraggle.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think we just look at the things through this social media type of a thing. Like, I'm telling people a lot that even stuff on my Instagram, on the posts and everything, this is a lie.
Yeah.
There's just so many things retouched or recolored. Or, you know, you just post your like, you flew 30 lipos and you post one of them that was perfect. And what about all of those 29? People just don't see it. So, guys, whenever you watch a perfect video, this is not their first lipo. This is a lie. This is the best lipo. This is the best part of the flight, not all of it.
Yes. I mean, that applies to 99% of people. You have the one person gifted, but you shouldn't always compare to the, like I said earlier, the best. Of course, it's good to have aspiration and be like,
of course,
yes, I want to be awesome, which is great. But when you are in the process of trying to getting better at anything, not just FPV, you need goals that are realistic. And that's actually something my therapist told me: realistic goals. So as soon as you start setting realistic goals and realizing everybody has shit days, like Tom in that video, it helps a lot.
That was a P day.
Yeah. I would say you guys should go and have a look at
and
this
check
video.
It out, yeah.
The conclusion is awesome, and the conclusion has got me through hard days, even out of FPV, when I was very depressed. And I don't know, even when I'm having a down day, I just rewatched this video. It's probably the most FPV video watched by me, you know, like all the views.
What if I feel bad? I have it in my bookmarks.
And
is it called I Feel Bad?
And it just helps. And every time I know the video, I know what's happening and I keep laughing. And at the end, I'm like, yep, that's such an inspiration for any FPV pilot, because it's a good example of when you have a shitty FPV day. And yeah, so I would recommend it. I might put the link in the description. Yes. But on that note, you were saying some pilots try to show their best thing all the time. I think it's true. But for example, Botgrinder, who's also another person I watch a lot, I think he, I like when he just shares like, oh, my tango is fucked up right now. You know, I'm on tango too. And, you know, I can't fly.
Everything is dying for him. I don't get it. Like, I never destroyed a radio in my life. Okay. Differently, I see a lot of people complaining about the switches on the radios, and I'm like, how did you break it? I broke switches twice in my radios ever. Okay, once, well, when I dropped the radio on the floor in from like the highest I don't know, I was on a couple of steps and I dropped it on the concrete floor and two of them snapped, and I'm like, fine. And second time, when I put the radio in my drawer and I slammed the drawer and it cut off two of the switches. And this makes sense. But when people say that they were just using them and they broke, I'm like, how did you do it? What are you doing with them? So whenever I see, yeah, whenever I see Botgrinder saying like, this died and this died and this died, I'm like, how do you do it?
I think he has acknowledged that he's, I'm actually, I can say that because I'm a bit like him, not really cautious with his own stuff. And okay, he will just put stuff in his bag and, you know, I think he said that before. We should ask him, but I'm pretty sure he said, oh, sometimes you just can't be fucked and that's what happens. And that's what happened to me too. Like, I had an X90 and I broke switches, and I know it's because I just put it in a bag quickly because I was lazy to pack it properly. This is why I have the Tango too. People have asked, why did you switch to the Tango? I'm like, the antenna, you can fold it. There's no switch you flick, you just press them. And even the one you flick, they don't, like, I can't break it. So, you know, that's why I
can't break it. It's amazing.
I only switch because I'm a potato. That's why.
Okay, I'm not commenting on that.
No. You'll see if we ever meet and I fly with you, you'll see how bad I am with, like, I just put my stuff everywhere. I walk on my lipos and just, you know, I'm a chaos. But I will be careful with your gear. It's just my stuff that I'm not really good with.
Actually, people say that I'm absolutely not careful with my gear. But, okay. I don't know. I mean, usually I'm just, I have a slight OCD and I put everything in the bag as it should be.
Ah, that's good.
But up until then, stuff is all over the place. I mean, I used to have lipos, like, during the colder days, I was actually on the race. I was keeping my lipos on my chest.
On your
so
chest.
they will stay warmer. So when I had to switch a lipo, I was just grabbing it from under my shirt, and everyone was looking like, "What are you doing? Why do you have a lipo there?" And I was like, "It's warm."
Yeah, and actually, without the joke, that's something that my mom told me. So on a female, I don't know if it's the same. It's probably the same for male because they also have organs. But yeah, our chest is usually warmer and stays warmer because usually that's where we have milk. I know don't have milk, but it has to. Damn. And also it protects, you know, your organs. So everything from like your lungs down to your stomach should be the warmest possible, even in wintertime. This is why, you know, technically people have colder extremities first. So keeping your lipo, whether it's on your chest or on your stomach, it's a good idea because it will stay warmer.
It was nice. Lipos were nice and warm. But yeah, generally, but as women, we have this little FPV advantage. We have an extra shelf or pocket, however you want to call it. You can keep stuff there.
That's true.
That's true. But anyway, I like the realistic goals of your therapist.
Oh, yes.
That's a good one. My therapist used to tell me that I need small goals. Yes. That get me to this big thing, and it has to be realistic, and I have to set a date, not being like, I'm going to work out every day, but I'm going to work out every day before lunch.
Mm.
Then you know when. So when you get hungry, you first work out and then you have a lunch. And this actually helped me a lot.
Yeah.
And then you can stack on it. So I started with 45 minutes of workout every day. Then I upgraded to 60. Then I changed back to 45 plus 15 of stretching because I need to stretch and I absolutely didn't do it. And now I'm having an hour of workout plus stretching. So you can stack stuff over it. So once you get it, because you have this one set time, then it's easier.
Yeah, that's such a good advice that can totally be applied to FPV Let's say you have a build that has been wrecked because you crashed at the bando and you're like, I don't know where to start. Some people might not relate to that. I'm realizing that some people listening to this podcast might be like, what? I never feel like this. But it's a thing that some people feel like some tasks are impossible because you're not in the right mental place to do it, or, you know. And if you break it down, so you're like, you know what, today I'm just going to change the motors. And that's it. You know, just one motor, and then it's going to start feeling better. And at the end of the day, the quad is fixed without you almost realizing it. So,
and sometimes it's the hardest to start. Maybe if you just switch this one motor, you will switch all of them, and then maybe you will go farther than that. Yeah, you don't know.
Exactly.
Maybe it will happen. It's just the hardest to start.
Very true. And it's even like, you know, I was quite bummed yesterday because I wanted to show you some footage for the first time I was flying in a while. And I arrive on site and this bloody thing is not recording and I don't have OSD. And I sort of suspected what was the problem. But I also wanted to fly and enjoy with my friend not being on my computer. And internet was not the best where I was. So, you know, even loading stuff. But when I came back from the session, I was like, oh, I'm a bit sad, but I'm happy because my mini goal first was to fly. And then I thought, should I straight away after the session try to fix my drone? But I was not in a mental place. It seemed like, oh, I don't want to do it. So instead, I just, I had other footage from the Cinewhoop. So I downloaded that to my computer, had a look, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's good. So that was positive. And then today after work, before the podcast, I'm like, well, you know what? Now I feel like I'm in the mental place to try and fix it. And it took 15 minutes. And I'm sure that if I had tried yesterday, I would have been upset and grumpy. And again, we were talking about vicious circle. I would have get frustrated and maybe it would have taken me 2 hours to figure out what was the problem. So,
yeah, that sounds like it a little bit. But yeah, that's about it. That's about it. Yeah.
All right. So, I think we've talked quite a bit. I hope it was interesting.
I hope you guys liked it. If you did, don't forget to let us know. And if you didn't, also let us know. But please don't do too much negativity. We are open to constructive criticism.
Yes, yeah. Just like things that are FPV related and not like female related.
Yes, please.
Cool. Well, thanks everyone for being here. I haven't checked the stat for a while. Let me quickly check and let you know. Because I like doing
our
that
stats
a little bit.
Were growing.
Yes. So let me quickly check.
Since we're on it, guys, don't forget to share our podcast with your friends, family, and the cat. Cat may enjoy it.
Yeah, so you know, we're doing great. I'm happy. Obviously the peak episode was the one with Mr. Steele, and I think at the moment it's unbeatable. But
beat him again.
But the general, you know, when you have like a curve and you're looking at your stats, the general thickness at the bottom is growing, which means in general we're doing better and better. So it was thin at the start. So
thank
you guys
for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. Like I said, I'm super happy about this podcast. It brought Lexi and myself closer to each other. You know, it helped
so
me.
Thanks,
fly.
Guys. Yeah. I have a bestie now.
Yes. For sure. And that's been great. And if you've been enjoying it, like even if you share it with the one person, if everybody listening now is sharing with one person who could be interested, that would double, you know, the listening.
Yes, please.
And tell us, like Lexi said, what you think on social media. So usually I'm sharing the podcast on my Facebook, Onigiri FPV, and my own Instagram. Lexi is reposting stories, so you can also DM her about it. And there's the podcast Instagram page, which is Onigiri
and
Co. And there will be a sneak. I always put a sneak peek or a snippet of the episode. So under that latest post, please come and tell us a bit about you for once. And maybe we can read in the next episode some feedback about.
Yes,
you know,
that'd be cool.
If we have
that'd be awesome.
Enough.
Yes, if we have enough. Guys, don't forget to say hi. We like it when people say hi.
Yes. Cool. Well, I'm going to go turn on my aircon and fan.
Yeah, you should do it. So I will do an outro. Thank you guys very much for listening to Onigiri & Co. podcast. It was really a pleasure to have you and really, really enjoy the fact that you are listening to us. Don't forget to say hi on our social media. Don't forget to follow Onigiri FPV and Mayon High for more really awesome FPV stuff. And we're going to see you or hear you again in 2 weeks. So yeah, have a great FPV time. Bye.
Bye.
Was it nice? It was kind of Michael Rollins.
That was good.
Yeah.